Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. As I've been promising you, today we're going to be focusing on food. Yes. Who doesn't enjoy it? There might be a few individuals out there that go, oh, I hate to eat. I'm not one of them. And anytime you can find out a way where you can enjoy food and the pleasure and the joy of good eating and fellowship with other people, I think it's always wonderful. Now, I'm going to try to pronounce this name right. I'm going to really try. Tom Castrino is my guest. Tom, I want to welcome you to the show. I hope I didn't massacre your good paisano Italian name badly.
Oh, no, not at all. You did beautifully, and thank you for having me on, Donna.
Now, we met at, yes, it's a joy to have you. Now, we're going to be talking about healthy meals made easy, and something that I like people to know is that you can eat healthy and actually have it taste good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why people think that healthy food is something that is going to end up tasting like cardboard or like paste, glue paste.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be that way at all. You're Italian. Your family came from overseas, and Italians are renowned for taking food, from what I understand, and teaching other people how to really enjoy the food and the pleasure of eating. In fact, and I know there may be some French people that might be upset with me over this, I understand it was the Italians that taught the French to cook. Anyway, that's what I was told when I was growing up anyway. But Italians do have a love of good food. They really, really do.
Oh, yeah, we really do. We love it. And as much as the good food, it's the fellowship and the companionship around mealtime, not only at the table, but beforehand in the kitchen. The whole process brings people together and strengthens their bonds. It's truly phenomenal, I think.
Well, it really is. And, of course, when I was growing up, that was my Aunt Josefina, I think, is the one. She lived in New York. She was in a tenement building, high-rise tenement building. And when you're a little girl and you're introduced to a kitchen that seems to be about the size of a postage stamp, and in the middle of it is this little Italian lady. She had to have been all of 5'2", if that. And she was as wide as she was tall. She liked her own cooking, obviously. And in the middle of this tiny kitchen, she has a table, you know, an island that she works with, because she's close to the sink, she's making her pasta, she's doing all this stuff. And I remember that was the first time I ever had a chance to cook in the kitchen, because my mother didn't believe in it. And boy, oh boy, I was hooked after that. I just absolutely loved it. She let me bake my first bread. Of course, it came out looking like oyster crackers, but who cares? You know, when you're a little kid, you just go, woohoo, I did it.
I did something, yay.
So what about you? When did you get this love of cooking?
Well, you know, it really goes back to my grandparents' dinner table. And once a month, we'd go over to their home for Sunday dinner. And it was this experience that I've described of companionship all around the whole afternoon, of preparing the meal, sitting down and enjoying it, and everyone pitching in to clear plates and help clean up. And so, you know, Nani's kitchen was a little bit bigger than what you described, but not by much. And, you know, of course, as soon as we walked in the door, the smells and the fragrances and just phenomenal, you know.
Yes, they
are. Wow. And that intrigued us and brought us into the kitchen. And we all, as kids, we wanted to know what was happening and what we were going to have, of course. And, you know, we'd have contests of who could eat the most raviolis and the most manigatis and things like this.
You had to be young, because if you ate it that way when you were older, you wouldn't be able to get out the front door.
Yeah, I know it. I know it.
Well, here is this love of cooking that you chose to get into. When did you decide that this was something that you wanted to do professionally? And did you go to school? Did you just learn from mom at home? What did you do?
Well, I had a solid background from learning from mom at home and exposure at my grandparents' house. And all through my teenage years, I cooked a lot for myself. I have five brothers and sisters. So, you know, Mom was pretty busy, and of course she made meals at mealtime, but if you wanted something else beyond that, it was up to you mm-hmm. to not only prepare it, but clean it up. And so that's where I began to practice my skills, and I think in college I was the only kid who took his school loan money and didn't buy a stereo, but instead bought a microwave.
Interesting.
Now, shows you where my priorities were at the time. I will say that I no longer use a microwave. I don't really like them very much, but nonetheless, to answer your question, probably about 10 years ago, I decided that I really wanted to share this love of cooking with other people, and I live in a resort area in Breckenridge, Colorado, in the Rocky Mountains. We get visitors from all over the world, and I felt that an opportunity was there to provide on-site chef service. So I come to the house, I bring the groceries, and I prepare the meal right there in the kitchen and recreate that environment. And, you know, my guests, I'll be honest, it's pretty rare that they want to get in the kitchen and help with dinner. That's kind of why they hired me. They want mm-hmm. to focus on each other's company and really spend some quality time together. And so that's kind of what led me into my professional cooking career, and my experience is through travel and work and personal experience.
Now, you are a personal chef.
Yes.
You will, just as you described, you will cook to order what people really want. And one of the things that came across to me very, very vividly when I was interacting with you when I was in New York and we had a chance to talk at the National Publicity Summit and then in chatting about your material, you want food really to be a pleasurable experience, but you also have some wonderful, wonderful tips. You have a blog. You have your own website, Healthy Meals Made Easy, or Easily.
Yes.
And you really like teaching cooking at local colleges. And then you also had a show called Cooking with Crystal. Do you still have that show?
No, it's not on the air anymore. That was a radio show. It was a ton of fun. We actually cooked right in the studio. And I don't know if you remember back to the old days of radio where they were all sound effects and things that they were...
Mm-hmm.
But these were sounds that were actually happening, whether it was grating or chopping or sizzling in the saucepan. And the radio, the general manager of the station kind of cringed every time I showed up and set up my shop right there in his studio.
mm-hmm.
But I thought it made for great radio, and it was a ton of fun.
Oh, I bet it was. All right, so you've got all of this experience. You really have gone to another level with your material. You have a blog where you are communicating with people, and you have recipes and all kinds of things. How did the blog get started? How long have you been doing that?
The blog's about 2 years old, and I got started on that just looking for ways to reach a broader audience and reach those people that I might not necessarily encounter in a personal chef environment, but they were still interested in learning about eating habits and how to empower themselves. And quite honestly, I think in our country, you know, our health crisis really stems down to our eating habits. And I'm sure you've heard the acronym for the Standard American Diet, that it's SAD, and S-A-D, Standard American Diet. So I was looking for ways to empower people to approach changing that, and that's what led me to the blog.
Well, I know that with the changes in technology, that this is something that people really enjoy. And we're going to be giving information out about your blog. I find it fascinating. I don't believe you're a vegetarian, are you? So many of your recipes are very oriented towards lots of vegetables, but that's healthy. Are you a vegetarian?
Currently, no. At one point, my wife and I practiced vegetarian diet for about 2 years. And we did that just to really immerse ourselves and hone our skills on vegetable-based meals so that they became second nature, and that way we could incorporate vegetables into our diet more easily.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have a number of things on your blog, and you go into Italian cuisine, you go into Asian cuisine. But first, let's talk about pondering the plate. Mm-hmm. That is a term that you have coined.
Yes.
What are you talking about when you say ponder the plate?
Ponder the plate. Well, what I'm talking about is exploring the source of our food and the distribution system and the people involved in producing it. So when I sit down to a meal, I look at what's before me. You know, of course, I've probably cooked it myself unless I'm out at a restaurant. And I kind of just take a moment to be grateful for the food that's before me and then also think about its origins and how it got to me. And, you know, here in the Rocky Mountains, farms are nearby in Colorado, but for most people, their food travels anywhere from 500 to 1,000 miles before it reaches them. And the other thing is that international cuisines, you know, their origins are from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I also see Ponder the Plate as a practice that helps me connect with other people in the world. We are a global community, and I think one of the ways we can bridge our differences or misunderstandings, perhaps, is through food, by enjoying.
I agree.
You know, we all need to sit down and feed ourselves, and what better way to find common ground?
Now, let's talk about one of your recipes that you have here. It's called an Asian noodle bowl. Now, anyone that's ever gone to Asian restaurants, whether they are Chinese, they are Vietnamese, the noodles are very, very popular. They have been in Asia for, geez, thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on where you are in Asia, there's different noodles. But this recipe that you have as the Asian bowl is shrimp and veggies over buckwheat noodles. And you talk about broth. Give us a guide on what to do with this. And this has some of... You give the information about the dish on your blog, and then what you do is you have all kinds of various seasonings, and you're sort of enticing people to try different things. Just don't think you've got to follow something that's in print this way. You can try sweet, savory, bitter, you know, flavors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all of this. And give us a little bit of a hint about this dish, and if my listeners have their pads of paper and pens handy, what should they write down?
Okay. Well, the first thing is the buckwheat noodles. And these are found in health food stores or Asian markets. And they're this beautiful brown tan color. Their texture and their taste is different than a whole wheat noodle. And they're a lot easier to work with than a rice noodle, which is also very popular in Asian cuisine. So that's why I like to use those a lot. The idea here is to give people inspiration. I've always said that cooking is one part recipe and five parts inspiration. So I want people to use their preferences, their imagination, and what's available can also be a big factor to this. The particular picture on the blog and that particular dish is one that a variation that I make pretty regularly because it's made up, includes bell pepper and carrot and maybe some watercress or some other type of green, tender green, and they're things I keep on hand pretty regularly. So it's a real go-to dish for me. And the flavoring elements in the guide are really, what I did was I took four cuisines and I put these together, and they break down by the cooking medium and then the five flavors, savory, salty, spicy, sour, and Donna, can you name the last one for me?
Let's see. Savory, sour, Well, I know you've got various herbs and spices in here.
We've got salty,
yes.
Sweet, and then
sweet
bitter.
And bitter
is the last flavor.
Mm-hmm. Bitter.
So all five flavors, and when those five flavors are present in a meal, then your body gets the signal that, hey, we hit a grand slam. I'm satisfied, and I don't need to eat anymore. And I don't know if you've ever gotten that feeling where you get up from a meal and you go, gosh, I'm pretty full, but I'm just a little hungry for something. I can't quite figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times what's happening is there's a flavor element missing. Now, it's really, you know, an effort to get all five represented at a meal. But if you get three or four, you do really well, and you'll notice a big difference in the way you feel. So what I've done with these cuisine guides is take examples of the foods that would represent each of those flavor elements. For example, in the Asian fascination, if we look to the savory element, ginger, of course, is popular in Asian cuisine, and garlic, and then also crushed red pepper. And this is not meant to be a comprehensive list, but to just give the ones that are most accessible, most simple to work with, and most familiar to a lot of people. So then you might add a sour element, and this might be rice vinegar or white wine, and a salty element. Of course, soy sauce is the most popular salty element. And then beyond that, once you've got some basic flavor elements going on, I give some examples of typical vegetables, and those might be snow peas, red bell pepper, broccoli, bok choy, watercress, as I mentioned earlier, bean sprouts, things like that. And then some little extras, what I call, and these are items that just really add maybe texture or interest to the meal. And in this case, we're talking about things like water chestnuts or bamboo shoots, maybe some shiitake mushrooms, which you can find either fresh in the produce section or often dried, and just rehydrate them with some boiling water and let them soak for a little bit. So these kinds of elements all come together, and they create a fabulous meal. And when you've got them on hand and they're easily available for you, the whole thing comes together really quickly and easily, and it's a big step that people can take towards improving their eating habits. And I don't expect that people would eat this way at every meal, but, you know, if you can little by little take one or two meals a week that you begin to incorporate some of these styles of cooking, I think what most people find is that they really enjoy it, and they begin to develop more and more of a taste and a desire for it.
Well, I think, too, when you have these different textures, that's one of the things when you go in and to a restaurant and you order an Asian meal. It is very seldom you're just ordering one plate or one item. Usually you go in and you've got two or three, different items that you're going to order. And usually they have different flavors, different tastes. There's very few individuals I find that want to have the same consistency in everything that they order when they're in an Asian restaurant. And that is what is encouraged, not only good conversation, but let's have these different flavors. And any people that I've known of Asian background that were good cooks, the variables that they can work with, whatever vegetable is really in season, that's the one that they'll work with. And everything typically is prepared fresh. And it's cooked very, very quickly. And they'll often use broth, like chicken. And you've got, like your Asian noodle bowl, you use peanut oil because that has a special taste. If someone has an allergy to that, then they can use another kind of oil like olive oil or whatever they prefer. And different oils can give a different flavor, too. And then what you say is you have this tiny amount of oil, and it could be in a wok if you want it, or just a super large pan, and you put in some minced fresh ginger, crushed red pepper, a little bit of chopped onion, a little bit of diced red pepper, and just saute it in the high heat until it's soft. Then you add a cup of chicken broth or vegetable broth or whatever you prefer. Toss in some chestnuts, and my goodness, then you add the shrimp. You can have peeled shrimp that's already cooked. You can get it at the store. Bingo! Goes right into that hot dish, and of course, they don't take but just seconds to heat up. You've got a wonderful meal. And if someone wanted beef or if they wanted sliced chicken, they could do that. And I like how you say top it maybe with some nuts, maybe peanuts or walnuts or, you know, hazelnuts or something. There are all these wonderful flavors that go into it. And I just think it's really great. And on your blog, you also have something, ladies, if you're interested in what to do for a game night, he's got some real good suggestions there on how to put that together. But I wanted to talk about quinoa. I always want to pronounce it quinoa, But of course, I know that's not the correct pronunciation. This is a very interesting grain to me, and it's only been in the last year that I've really been getting an education about it. And you say if someone wants to have this, and it's very, very high in protein, people in South America have been using it for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's been a primary protein source for them. And I know I talked with a woman from South America, from Peru, and she said, the women don't have calcium deficiencies. It is so loaded with nutrition. How did you become acquainted with it?
I mentioned how we spent 2 years as vegetarians, and that's when we became acquainted with quinoa. And the way that I listed on the blog is as a savory breakfast item, and it's kind of a change of pace for us from oatmeal. As you mentioned, it's high in protein, so it really stays with you for, you know, a couple hours, and it's a great way to start the day. And again, getting back to those five flavors, what we found was that having a more savory type of breakfast, as opposed to a typical sweet type of breakfast, that also gets metabolism going for the day and really sets a different tone. Where most people might choose oatmeal with apples or maple or brown sugar, something like that. It's kind of decidedly on a sweet note. But the quinoa is a really easy grain. What we do is we prepare it with some curry powder, and that gives it the savory element. And we shred a little zucchini and toss that into the pot while the quinoa is cooking. The beautiful thing about quinoa is that it cooks unattended, just like you'd cook a pot of rice. So you get the water going, and you dump the grain in there, and once it's up to a boil, you reduce the heat to a simmer and let it go for 20 minutes while you get dressed, take your shower, help the kids, you know, whatever you need to do in the morning. Then, of course, the timer goes off, and breakfast is ready. Sit down and enjoy it in whatever style you prefer. We like to add flax oil to it to moisten it up a little bit and give us some essential fatty acids into our diet, and maybe some chopped fresh cilantro to get a little chlorophyll into our day, and this is the way we like to enjoy this breakfast. But it's a fabulous grain. It's easily available, and it cooks beautifully and simply, and you can, just as I described, enjoy it for breakfast. It's also great to just cook up a pot of it and keep it in the refrigerator, stir it into soups, sprinkle it over salads, like garden salads, or toss it together with black beans. It combines really nicely with black beans flavor-wise, and make a salad that way, which is a great take-along lunch. Quinoa is really versatile and just a fabulous grain. It really is.
Yes, and the protein factor in the nutritional factor, I was just astonished. I was really amazed with it. Let's talk about fish. We're in the time of the year when we want lighter meals. It's summertime in many parts of the country. We haven't found it yet in the Pacific Northwest, but in most parts of the country, like in your part of the world, the sun is beaming and shining, and people are really wanting to have lighter meals. They don't want the sturdier dishes that often come with winter and that we enjoy. That I think your recipe for baked halibut with a crazy simple sauce, tell us this, because halibut is delicious. And it is just absolutely easy to fix. It doesn't take a lot of time. You say you can grill it, poach it, bake it, and it can be ready in about 10 minutes. Who wouldn't like that? Let's talk about this recipe and share it with my audience.
Okay. Well, the baked halibut, the secret to this crazy simple sauce is, believe it or not, yogurt. And, you know, when we marinate foods, what we're doing is beginning the cooking process. Typically, you'd marinate and you would use a marinade might include vinegar or lemon juice or white wine or some acidic element. In this case, we use yogurt to achieve that, and a little minced onion and some ginger and coriander and chili powder, and you just put that all into a food processor and pulse it until it becomes a sauce. And then the next step is to just pour it over the fish, and we were talking about halibut in this recipe. Other white fish fillets such as cod or orange roughy also work beautifully here. And then place that in the oven at 375, you know, moderately warm oven, and it cooks pretty quickly, just about 8 minutes.
Now, this is to be in a non-metallic dish. That's very important. So you want it in a glass or a ceramic baking dish.
Yeah, I usually have a Corningware dish that I use for this, but glass is fine. The importance about non-metal is that it, because you're putting this acidic element into the with the food in cooking it that way, you don't want to have the interaction with the metal.
Gotcha.
It's going to make a flavor influence, and you know anybody would also debate health effects that may or may not be desirable.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you want to just bake it, and the important thing with fish is to not overcook it. And as soon as it begins to flake easily, that's the time that it's done and it needs to come out of the heat. And what I find is that many people, they say, oh, you know, I really don't like fish. It's always dry. Well, it's dry if you overcook it. The other nice thing about this dish is this sauce that you're cooking the food in keeps it moist as well. So it's really, it comes together quickly, a little chopping, a little pulsing in the food processor, toss it in the oven, and in the time it takes to cook, if you can race the oven and put together a salad or steam some vegetables, you've got a fabulous meal.
Yes, and hot, freshly baked bread with butter is absolutely optimum. Let me give some ingredient amounts here for my listeners. He mentioned the ingredients, onion, garlic, etc. I'm going to give you amounts as he's got it here. A half a cup of chopped onion, and you could use shallots if you didn't have onions. 2 cloves of minced garlic. You want to mince it really fine. 1 teaspoon of minced ginger, and that's fresh ginger, not the dried ginger.
Mm-hmm.
1 teaspoon of lemon juice, and fresh is best. 1/4 teaspoon each of ground coriander and chili powder. And all those things you put into, like he said, your food processor, and you just pulse it until it's combined. And then you add 2, I'd say heaping tablespoons, but maybe that's just a down a touch, of plain yogurt, and you pulse it until it's mixed. And then you just put that over your fish. I mean, how easy is that? That is absolutely awesome. Bake it for 8 minutes, and like you said, just check it, and if it needs to go in for a few more minutes, great. But you've got a real light, flavorful dish, and I always think it's good for people to say, gee, if this tasted good to me, I wonder what else I could do with the recipe. You've got so many wonderful recipes on your blog. You've got a creamy walnut and pomegranate dip. And, oh, one of my favorite soups is Greek lemon soup. That is absolutely wonderful. And, of course, I've always enjoyed the Middle Eastern dish that's made with bulgur wheat, tabbouleh. And you have a different twist on that with your Syrian salad. But there's so much good food. This has feta cheese. Now, my listeners need to know how they can go get to your blog, because you have all of this information here. If someone's just wanting to check things out, you give the equipment list. You've got all kinds of wonderful resources that you share. This is just incredibly wonderful. So tell us, how can we find your blog?
They can go online and visit www.healthymealsmadeeasily.com, and there they'll find the blog. And the other item you were mentioning, the checklists with the equipment and the groceries, those are e-books that are available on the site. And those include a complete menu for a meal. And these are all the notes that I would use when I went on site to a personal chef job. I had to make sure I had everything with me so that I got there, and I had to make sure I kept the meal on track so it would be ready on time. You know, a strange environment full of distractions. And, you know, one of the side effects that your listeners may enjoy with these e-books and these checklists is that when they get their friends together and they all want to get in the kitchen, it's very easy to delegate tasks out and for everyone to participate in the process of the meal and enjoy that camaraderie.
I think that's a great idea.
You'll notice that the dishes are all color-coded. So if, let's say, we're making a menu of 3 dishes, and we go to the store, we just get everything we need, and it's all in the house, And then, Donna, you take the green dish, and I'll take the orange dish. I'll make the soup. You work on the entree, and then maybe we'll have another friend with us who might work on the salad dish or the dip or something like that. And it just makes it really easy to share in the process and the experience. And that's where folks can go, Healthy Meals Made Easily. And they can visit the blog, and all the items we've talked about there are right there on the blog. And then they want to go and create that experience themselves, they can download the ebooks, and those are also available, featuring Mediterranean, of course, Asian, some Thai menus, and some Indian menus also.
Tom Castrino, it's been great having you as a guest today. And I'm sure that those of you listening may or may not be starting to get hungry, but it wouldn't surprise me if you were. So if you want to tickle your taste buds with your eyes, then go to his website, healthymealsmadeeasily.com, and check on his blog, the ebooks. There's a lot of good information there. Tom, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much for being with me today. And keep on cooking.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's been a pleasure here as well. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, sir. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to come. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And if you want to call in and chat with me today, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, I know with so many of you, you are enjoying graduation ceremonies and all kinds of activities. We've had major traffic jams here in the Seattle area because of 40,000 family, friends, and other individuals going out to graduation ceremony. So it's been really, really quite intense this time of the year. But it's something that we always enjoy and look forward to, and it's exciting when you are able to participate in those graduation ceremonies and you watch these young people that are getting ready either to go off to college or step out into the world stage for their own individual experience, and it makes you remember sometimes that you had yourself. So for all of you who are enjoying the opportunities to spend time with those that are going through the graduation ceremonies, my best wishes for all of you, and have patience wherever you go. If you're in the big city and you find that you're in traffic jams, like so many people found here, 2 hours or more, and they're going on at all different times. You know, it used to be at one point in history with education that everybody graduated at the same time. In a lot of areas, the graduation ceremonies are scattered, so people graduate at different times because there's so many students today. It's quite interesting how the world changes. Well, I wanted to share a thought with you by a brother, David Steinelrost. Now, this is a man who is just absolutely amazingly proficient in so many areas. And he is a man where he decided he was going to dedicate his life becoming a monk. He joined a Benedictine monastery. And he is a senior individual. And while he was there, he also began studying Zen. And he decided that he wanted to develop what he called an interfaith dialogue. And he received the Martin Buber Award for his achievements in building bridges between various religious traditions. He's written a number of books. And he has an organization called gratefulness.org that you can check on. And I know we've got a listener. But before I do that, I wanted to share with you what he said. So, listener, please be patient with me. This is what he said. He said, every moment is a given moment. The appropriate response is gratefulness. The gift within every gift is opportunity. Grateful people use this gift creatively. Grateful living has the power to heal our lives and our world. Research shows grateful people are happier and healthier. What we take for granted leaves us cold. Gratefulness sparks joy. Grateful for what we have, we need less and can share more. Grateful to Mother Earth, we can take better care of her gifts. A wellspring of gratefulness in every heart waits to be tapped. Once it flows, the whole earth flowers like a well-watered garden. I thought those were charming words. Let's get to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. My initial is JL, and I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Wow, the sun's shining in Brooklyn, isn't it?
Yes. It was good. Raining yesterday, though, a little bit.
Oh, well, you wouldn't be happy here because it's been raining off and on most of the time. We still haven't found summer. We keep looking. We keep thinking we can hook her in somehow, but it hasn't happened so far. Let's get down to business with you, JL. The first thing that I'm looking at with you is the word patience. And this is something that you're very familiar with, but I am seeing tiny steps of accomplishment being achieved by you because of your determined persistence at following through with what you need to do for yourself. There also is an individual that I'm seeing becoming aware of you. Actually, I think they've watched you for a while, and they are just waiting until the right time to offer you an opportunity for you to step into an environment that they think you will fit into very, very well. I like what I'm looking at here. I think you're a hard worker, and you haven't had as much clarity about yourself as you would like, but that's something we have to work with. I don't know that anybody ever gets that instantaneously, and I really think that you are doing a good job. So those little tiny steps of change that you're implementing are very important. Don't be surprised if you're called for an opportunity at a job that may take you overseas. How this is going to evolve, I'm not sure, but I am seeing an opportunity for that, and I see the cycle of two. So I don't know if it's 2 weeks, 2 months, by February of next year, or within 2 years, but that international opportunity will be made available to you, and it'll be up to you whether you want to take it or not. What would you like to ask me today, JL?
Actually, what you just said is very interesting, because I'm actually traveling in about a week and a half. I'm going to China, and I'm going to learn a little bit about acupuncture and different type of alternative therapy from my uncle.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I'm not sure if that will lead to anything, but to get an acupuncture degree, you would have to go to school for another, I believe, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just want to see where it takes me by visiting his clinic there.
I think this is marvelous. What a fabulous opportunity for you to have. And you will be having the opportunity to interact with some very, very talented, hardworking people. And I think it will give you a clarity in your life that you really have wanted to have. And not only that, I think it's going to put you in touch with a cultural composition that you've not been able to link with before. So I think this is marvelous. Congratulations. How long are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there for 3.5 weeks.
That's exciting. I think there's a part of you that's going to hate to come back home, but you're going to realize that that's a good thing. I think you're going to learn quite a bit while you're there.
Donna, do you think that might lead to what you just mentioned before about international opportunity?
It might. It might. Mm-hmm. But you still would have to go through an education process. But I think in being with this family member, you're going to have the opportunity to determine what particular paradigms you really want to explore.
Mm-hmm. So you
I think
do
that's
see
great.
That I will probably have to go back to school for something for at least
oh,
a couple
absolutely.
Of years.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because for you to become a proficient professional, that's going to be a
mm-hmm.
requirement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much, Donna, for your time.
You are welcome. Advice. You'll have to call back and let us know how the trip went.
Okay.
All right, JL. You have a magnificent day and an utterly, utterly awesome summer.
Okay, thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I realize I got distracted. I was sharing with you astrological signs, sort of like, I'll call it a generic astrology for astrology reading for those of you under different signs. And we had covered Aries and Taurus, but I hadn't gotten to the other signs. We've had other things coming up with the show. So let me share Gemini, Libra, and if I have time, Scorpio with you. So before we go on break, let me give you the information. If you're born under the sign of Gemini, your families are really going to be very important to you. There's apparently a reunion, some kind of a get-together that you're going to have a chance to experience during the summer months here, and it's just going to be dynamic. You are going to really enjoy it. Also, if you're married, you're going to find that you want to have some quality time with that significant other person in your life. When it comes to money and career, well, you're going to have to stay on a budget. You're going to really need to ask yourself, what are your priorities? What do you truly want to focus on? And you have to look at how you want to manage your money so that if it is necessary for you to go to school or make an investment in yourself in some way that you're going to be able to do it comfortably. And when it comes to traveling, hey, isn't summertime a great time to travel? I think so. Well, you may have to just do some short excursions. Or, again, if you're working on a budget, just be very imaginative. Maybe involve some other people, do some brainstorming, say, what could we do creatively that we could have a lot of fun with using less money, not more, at least for this summer. And I think you're going to find that this is going to be a very enjoyable summer, lots of things to do, maybe some pre-concerts to go to. But for those of you under the sign of Gemini, you're going to be balancing your budget and keeping yourself in a stable positioning to the best of your capacity. Those of you born under the sign of Libra, well, when it comes to family, you're going to find that there are some people you're going to be able to be in touch with that you have not had contact with for a long time, and this is going to be meaningful to you. And there's some new members coming into the family that I think you're going to want to take time to get to know. When it comes to money and career, well, it seems like this year money comes more easily to you, and you're going to find that there are significant partners in your life that will be very supportive and can help you achieve what you're wanting to accomplish in the financial arena. Also, when it comes to career, you need to be willing to ask questions. Don't be afraid to stick your neck out to find out more about your strengths. Focus on those, and I think you're going to be able to make the career shifts that you want. When it comes to travel, well, it looks like you're going to be so busy with your work that maybe it'll just be enough time to have those weekend excursions that can sometimes be extremely refreshing. But you're also going to be doing entertaining and having a lot of interaction with people you enjoy spending time with. So those summer months are going to be, these upcoming summer months are going to be absolutely delightful for you. And last but not least, those born under the sign of Scorpio, well, we're going to have to take a break, and I'll tell you what. When we come back, I'll give you information on the sign of Scorpio. And we're going to be talking about how you can turn spare change into cash, maybe a little bit of information about real estate, and also, how can you feel more successful about yourself? Or you can give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back. This is Donna Siebel.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Siebel. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Siebel's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Siebel's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Siebel and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Just a quick mention, my 800 number has been discontinued, so you can reach me at 253-582-5604. With all of the changes in technology, we are eliminating that 800 number because it's not being used often enough. So that is something. That's a good thing in some respects, but for those of you that maybe have written it down in your telephone books, just know that the number to call to reach me is 253-582-5604. Well, you can call me here at the station at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 if you would like for me to share some intuitive thoughts with you. Let's finish up the sign of Scorpio and astrological information. You know, when it comes to family and those special people in your life, you're going, especially if you're single, you may find yourself having some interesting events that you're going to be invited to, social activities that may bring into your space a significant other. Also, you are going to find that there may be some family issues that are going to have to be dealt with, anything from maybe a young person in the family coming back from college and having to stay at home for a while, challenges with family members that are going to have to be met with and taken care of in the way. And that is going to be a learning experience for you. Also under the sign of Scorpio, when it comes to money and career, you are going to have an opportunity to attain something that really means a lot to you. It may not be a gigantic aha, but you're going to find that putting your best foot forward in all of your energy and efforts and activities, it's going to make a big difference. Traveling, don't be surprised if you're going to be able to have a what you might say is an unplanned, very, very surprising vacation period that's going to enable you to really enjoy this summer in a very, very special way. And don't be surprised if someone offers you an opportunity to perhaps take a trip that maybe they can't take, but they'll say, hey, I'll give you my ticket. These are very, very interesting times for those born under the sign of Scorpio. Good gifts, good opportunities coming in unexpected ways. So that's for those three signs. So we'll be covering during this week maybe Sagittarius, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. We'll try to get the rest of you in so you'll have an idea of a generic picture for the summer period. When we go traveling, it's so easy to overpack. And it's something that when you become a seasoned traveler, you realize lighter is better because you don't want to be hauling a whole bunch of stuff around. And I have some wonderful suggestions by Mary Beth Bond. And she said it's always a challenge when you're going traveling to figure out what you should take, because now, of course, we've got all of these restrictions with luggage as far as the amount of weight that you can carry, and then you have to think about where you're going. You have a lot more flexibility, I think, when you travel in the United States or a place like the Virgin Islands. The wardrobe can be pretty easy to put together. But what if you're traveling overseas, different countries? Well, if you are traveling in Europe and South America, one has to be aware that wearing shorts and low-cut halter neck or midriff-bearing tops, or guys wearing cutaway T-shirts, things like this, this is looked down upon. Of course, many of these churches are absolutely awesome to go in and visit. So out of respect for the culture and for the environment, you want to be aware of the protocols. And you need to have your shoulders, knees, and heels covered if you're going to be going to an exotic place like Bangkok. And if you are wearing a tank top, shorts, or sandals, they will not let you in. Some countries have very strict protocols. And in the Middle East, well, we all know it's a must to cover up. But you need, it's not a must, they said, for Westerners to cover up, but really you want to be respectful to the local culture. So being conservative in your dress is always appropriate. Now here's something that women need to be aware of, and then there are some things for the guys, but women in general have to be more thoughtful about what they're going to wear. Guys can get away with it. Their wardrobe is not anywhere as eclectic as women's are. A woman's wardrobe would be, rather. Now, for women, packing in a shawl-sized scarf, it's warm and they don't weigh anything at all. And this is something that can be used as a head cover or even to cover your shoulders if you are going to be visiting any religious sites. And it can also double as a wrap and a beach cover-up. And there are those wonderful, wonderful scarves, the cashmere scarves, and other items that are so light, they don't take up any space in your suitcase. It's great. Khaki-colored or black clothing, if you are going to be traveling, guy or gal, it doesn't show the dirt as readily as light colors will, and you can blend in when you visit bazaars. You're not going to stand out. One of the things that you do have to be aware of, both in Europe and in the Middle East, that there's a lot of pickpockets, and what you want to do is be aware as a woman. And this goes for guys, too, because I know a lot of guys like to wear real fancy rings and necklaces and all this kind of stuff. It's better not to take that with you when you travel. You don't want to draw attention to yourself any more than necessary. Conspicuous clothing, jewelry, attracts attention and needs to be avoided. It's easier to mix and match your wardrobe if you have fewer colors. I knew a tour guide who was very particular. She traveled so much, she did so many tours, that she always made sure that she had black slacks, black skirt, black jacket. She'd have shirts maybe that she could change that would have different colors, or she used scarves to bring color to her wardrobe in a way and manner. She said, I can have something that's less than 30 pounds, so if I get stuck in a place where I can't get a porter to carry my bag, I can carry it and not put my back out. And the protocol perfect wardrobe includes one black top, one black shirt or pants, one black dress, one black jacket or sweater, a pair of black shoes. It's better to be overdressed than underdressed. If you are going to find yourself attending an opera or maybe you're going to be a guest at some social gathering in someone's home, just be aware when you're in another country, know the protocols. And closed-toe shoes really are very important, and it has more to do with safety, cleanliness, and decorum. Five-star hotels, staff members will look down upon those that are wearing flip-flops unless you're going to the spa or the pool. And so in a lot of developing countries, you have to keep in mind they don't have paved streets, they don't have sidewalks, it's a very dirty environment, and it's very easy to trip on uneven pavements and get hurt. And when you're going, guys, if you're going to go to the South American countries, remember, they are impressed with shiny shoes. Why? A man's shoes reflects wealth and respect. So the military code of spit and polish may need to be applied in that respect. So, Mary Beth, your comments are good ones. I appreciate it. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're just about out of time here. I want to let you know that tomorrow my guest is going to be Priscilla Long. We're going to be talking about the Writer's Portable Mentor. This lady is just absolutely delightful. She has put together a book for aspiring writers, even those that write well and are successful. You can't help but learn from what Priscilla has put together. And then A Guide for Midlife by Mackenzie McGee. This is an amazing book. This woman has put together both astrology as well as parable, as well as facts and information regarding the different cycles of life that we go through. And I think you'll find it interesting, and it's beautifully done. The artwork in the book is just incredible. So we've got some great people. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Seaball. Have a fabulous day or evening, wherever you might be, and we'll be talking tomorrow, right here at the same place, same time, bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Seaball Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Seaball Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.